When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about the emotion of envy. We'll also be linking it to jealousy. We're going to talk about how envy evolved, what it does to your body, how you can cope with it. It's kind of extremely fascinating. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what did we learn this week. Mine is about the average day over the world, how people spend their time. And Mitch's is about
centenarians and why some people live to 100 years old. What is it about them? Stay tuned.
Dump on bow. That's so in. To live to 100 is so in.
Yeah, it's my dream, but oh, really? Also, you're not going to like the research.
Oh, no.
That's
don't smoke weed. Don't be gay.
No, we'll get there when we get there. But
wait, are you serious? I'm so bad at it. I need to know. Are you serious?
You just have to wait like half an hour.
Like my lifestyle.
Just wait and you'll find out. I wanted to bring up something else before we jump into today's topic, which is we're in February now. Yeah. Remember we were like, how long will our resolutions hold up? How are you doing?
Oh, rough. I want to... rough. Yeah, a dog rough. Goes what? It goes rough.
Oh, have you seen those videos of everyone in different languages, like, or a group of friends who are all different language being like, what animal, what noise does this animal make? And they all have different...
One will be like, dog off.
Or like they all have different funny things for different animals.
Explain it a little bit clearer. Okay. I don't understand what you're saying.
It's cute TikTok videos. It'd be like a group of four or five friends. One's from Belgium. One is British. One is Swedish. One is Italian. And they'll be like, what noise does this animal make? And it'll be a frog. And an English person will say, ribbit, ribbit. And then they'll all laugh. They'll be like, it's krokuk. Krokuk?
Yeah.
Like, some of them are so weird that it's just...
Well, honestly, I feel like give it to Scandinavia to accurately sound like a frog because they always sound like a frog when they just speak their language. They're like... Blah, 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 blah. But what were you saying?
The question is about resolutions.
It's like they're still there. They're hanging on by a thread, but they're dropping like flies. What about you?
Yeah, I feel the same. And I'm like, okay, this is important right now because right now is when I would just fully be like, okay, well, I failed. Move on. I'm trying to understand right now how to...
Just restart. Pretend
to... Restart. Yeah. Like, for example, I am pretty good at not using my phone as much in the morning, but my phone has migrated back into the bedroom is where it gets charged. So I like, because I'm just like lazy and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to go bring it downstairs and charge it. So I'll just like use the charger in my room. So little things like that. Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes have brought my real phone versus my fake phone just because I'm like, oh, I might stay here longer. And then I want to be able to like message people or message you.
Yeah, no, you just have to recalibrate.
It's I've been trying. Yeah.
But yeah, like
I'm hoping this week because I'm feeling kind of out of it. And I'm like, I need to get back in it. Get back in the cycle.
We said that mid-February would be when it would fall apart. So we were right. So in some ways, we were right.
Wow. We're so smart.
And then all I have to say is that the Usher Super Bowl performance was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Greg was truly screaming the whole time.
Well, I am an Usher stan.
I couldn't even hear what was happening on screen.
Well, it was like, I will say the audio wasn't that good. It's like NFL, get it together. But
he was singing live. That's what made it. That's, I think part of it was that. Like, not all of the performances you see are live, especially not the beginning. Whereas that one, you could tell, was, like, very live.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
The vast majority of it. Even, like, Alicia Keys, like, I feel bad, but the first note, people are, like, memeing now because she's, like, like, has a crack. Which happens to everyone, obviously.
But apparently they fixed it for the one on YouTube now, like, the official one. And it's just, like, a perfect, like belt.
Is it auto-tune?
Like, it's not, like, but he was great. He's so hot. He took his shirt off. What else can we ask for? Oh, I did want him to launch across the stadium.
Yeah, I wish there was one gag or one like reveal or something.
And
that
like, there's something
gagged
about him. Like, I am absolutely obsessed. He was a sexual awakening for me. He still is. I love him. I'm gonna go see him in concert. I know the words to all of his songs. He's the best. But there's something about his dancing. It's like it's so good, and he like, it's like refine it a bit. Like he's always like. And it's like, it's crazy. Like, obviously, I'm like, you just spun like four times, but sometimes it's like almost like you could actually just sing and walk at this part instead of sing and do like an electric slide like all the time. But again, it's like he's probably like, but
it's
actually can
Super
do
Bowl.
That.
Yeah, also, he wants
and a lot
to
of people
it.
Can't like do the little like shuffle thing. But overall, I thought it was great. It's up there for me. And now we're going to rewatch
them
all.
Impressive.
Okay. And yeah, we have no opinions on the game. We didn't even watch it. We watched a foreign film after. So we're moving on.
Okay. Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Envy.
Envy. Envy.
Wait. Okay. So I need to talk. I think we need to start by being like, what's the difference between jealousy? Because it was all over the map for me, depending on the study.
I think for a lot of people, envy and jealousy can be the same.
But some would sort of be like, envy and jealousy is this. Like, for example, one said envy or jealousy is an example of the feeling evoked when someone is better off than you. Mm-hmm. Very simple. But then others were like, actually studies trying to literally show how different envy and jealousy are. Mm-hmm. So envy is the painful feeling of wanting what someone else has, like attributes or possessions. If you're jealous, you're feeling threatened, and therefore you feel protective, fearful of losing your position. And you're more likely to, if you're jealous, want to take something away from someone else rather than just want what they have.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I think colloquially people use both of the words in both of those ways. And so I think, I'm sure we should just say like we're talking about envy and jealousy, and even though there might be
technical definitions. But I want to focus on envy. Yeah.
Yes.
And this one I thought was interesting. Envy was characterized by feeling like inferior, you're longing for something, you're resenting, whereas jealousy was characterized as the fear of loss, the fear of distress, and then it leads to anxiety and anger. So you're more like, it was starting to become a little clear with me on those. Like jealousy is when you're like something's happened that's making you feel like you're going to lose something.
Okay.
Like whether it's a part of yourself, whereas envy, it's almost like you're sort of sat there below looking up, like, you know, you're below and you're long for it.
Okay.
Rather than like you have it and it's leaving you.
Okay. That's interesting.
It was like,
they're both either way, very interesting emotions, very present. Yes. I think for everyone, I have some studies that will touch on like the, you know, of course, advent of social media and the internet playing such a big role in this these days. Excuse me.
he barfs.
Like we have to see other people's achievements and stuff so much more frequently than maybe we would have ever before. And that plays a big role, but
I can go into the evolution of it.
Sure.
Let's start. You want to ask about our envy or something?
Oh, I think you gave a definition already, right?
Yeah.
Not to start a podcast, but Webster's Dictionary
Do yours.
No, I think I just wrote it. It occurs when a person's lack another's quality, skill, achievement, or possession and wish that the other lacked it.
Oh.
So oftentimes, but this, for me, a lot of studies, and maybe you're going to explain this too, actually there's two
benign envy.
Two different kinds of envy. Do we want to say about that first or talk about the evolution of it?
No, talk about that if you want.
Okay. So there's two different types of envy. And what I found really interesting is that some languages like Dutch apparently have two different words for these different kinds of envy.
Wow. So ribbit, English, ribbit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Bring that back up. So they have malicious envy. So there's a word for that. And that's when you want to bring somebody down. Like, that's quote unquote better off than you, even at your own cost. So the desire to like take it away from them versus benign envy, which makes you aspire to be as good as the other
person.
That's
the one that you're striving for, benign envy, because I have other studies that are like, it can actually be a really good motivator. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of factors that make something a benign envy. It's hard.
Yeah. And the research, despite making these two kinds of envy distinct, even benign envy is still not a pleasant emotion or feeling. It's not good inside of you, but they classify it separately because it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to like try to be that person. I want what they have. I want what they do. And so now I'm changing myself instead of trying to change and tear them down.
Which just kind of makes sense. I feel like that's like a natural part of life. You're looking at everyone around you and you're kind of like, well, that person's life's interesting. So I would rather do things to be more like them. That person's uninteresting to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really...
And the gap... So envy decreases in studies as that gap gets smaller and smaller. As you see yourself, like, closer to the person you envy,
you
feel less envious. Which seems obvious. Obviously, like, as you're like, oh, I'm just as good in them now. I'm not envious anymore.
Well, but I was going to say it at the end, but I can say it now because I think it's really juicy, which is they were like... Envy is the number one way for you to understand what it is that you actually care about in your life. So if you were to ask someone, what do you value? They're going to give you like probably a BS answer based on the way that they were raised and what they were told to value. Mm-hmm. And they're like, although you're not consciously aware of it, whatever you're jealous of or envious of someone is the actual, like, it's deep in your unconscious telling you what it is that you value. So it was like,
I don't know if that resonates with me.
Oh,
only because I don't think that can't be true.
He's in denial. I'm kidding.
I mean is, to me, envy is such a like ingrained emotion that you don't necessarily control. Of course it's pointing to something. I think it's more societal, and you can often look at someone and you're conditioned to believe you want certain things. But sometimes it reminds me of, like, I know I bring up chips a lot on this podcast, but kind of like, you know, when you have it and you indulge, it's like you want, if you are given the opportunity, you'll just binge on a food, right?
Chips. Okay, chips.
Chips, yes, for gotcha. Me. Could be cake like for weird. Somebody else or candy for somebody else, whatever. But to me, envy is like this emotion that's just like grasping for the things you want really bad. And I think you can have both sides of yourself. Like, I don't want to eat chips all the time, but if they're near me, I can't necessarily control myself. And I think that, I don't know why I'm comparing the two. But does this comparison make sense?
Like, I do,
envy
but I
feels
think,
sort of uncontrollable.
But
it doesn't mean that my biggest desire in life is chips. Like, I would like to be healthy, but I can't always stop myself from eating bad
but
things.
I think it's like, keeping your chips analogy. but if they're in front of you and you're longing for them, it means you value chips.
I think. Does it mean I value? See, that's the word that's triggering me, because it's like, I don't have self-control over it.
Okay, but it's just one study, but it resonated with me because I think it's like, not to say you're in denial, but I think it can be easy to be like, I thought it was kind of juicy because it's a little bit like calling out, because I think a lot of the things that people envy are maybe not like, they may be materialistic.
Right.
And like, a lot of people don't want to see themselves as that, but it could show you the things that you're having a challenge with. Like, I was just thinking about like the gym. Like, I'm spending a lot of time going to the gym. So now I'm like envying people with like insanely beautiful bodies more.
Because you're around it and you're trying to.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my God, it's interesting. It's like, no, you're valuing the gym now, Greg. Mm-hmm. And you're valuing these things because you're envious of it. I just thought it was a really cool way to be like...
But which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
It's not saying that. It's just saying it can be a really interesting indication of where your values are lying.
Okay, that's fair.
Which I just is like, it's like, what do you envy? That could then indicate, what do you value? If you are uncomfortable with that, then maybe there are changes you can make, or... just like an acceptance about yourself. That's kind of interesting.
Maybe it was the word value that triggered, not triggered, or like got stuck on me, because to me a value is like this deep-seated thing that, but values can change from year to year.
Yeah.
Like if you're saying you didn't always value like fitness, but now you do. And now you'll be envious.
Yeah.
But maybe 10 years ago you could care less about that.
Exactly.
So
what? Yeah, that's
I
what
guess
I'm
a
saying.
Value is more transient. To me, sometimes there's this idea of like your core values are
well,
the
that's
things.
What they were kind of calling out. They're like, it's so interesting because people have values that they'll, if someone says, what do you value? They'll say this, 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 and mm-hmm. this. And they're like, a really deep thing to do is be like, who and what do you envy? Because that might just be the truth of your values at the moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is like, it's like a little
it's
bit
worth
intense.
Facing.
It's worth facing.
Like, facing
yeah.
It, yeah.
And like, hello, call the therapist. So the evolution of envy is like really interesting because unlike, you know, aggression and like fear or fear is a better one. Like fight or flight response is like very understood. You fear something, your body does all these physiological reactions mm-hmm. to truly fight it, to run away from it. Whereas emotions like jealousy and envy are like way more complicated. There's not like,
yeah.
you don't have envy for this completely obvious reason. So this study, I'll talk more later because they did this hilarious section about how evolutionary biologists are so over the top.
What do you mean?
And like do such insane, like the reason this evolved was because of this. And they actually made a fake study where they made all these fake evolutionary biology claims. And then all these like studies and scientists were like, yes, that's it. And like how they showed how like these really drastic hypotheses can like spread because they're really catchy and interesting, mm-hmm. but they're actually not that valid. So they're uh-huh. trying to be like, this is going to be really hard to explain the evolution of envy, but we're going to try our best.
Of course. Yeah.
So one of the questions they asked in the survey was to a bunch of people, are you more envious of your neighbor who has a bit more money than you or of someone like Bill Gates?
Mm.
And so what they found is almost unanimously everyone chose their neighbor.
Yeah. That would be my instinct as well. It's like the person you
yeah.
know. I'm like, I don't compare myself to Bill Gates ever.
Yeah. And so they were kind of saying that like this makes sense when you think of like the hunter-gatherer vibe. Like you're envious of the people within your physical proximity.
Yeah.
And that you are kind of that benign envy thing. You're kind of looking around at people who are like you, who have a bit more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it could be like a motivating aspect of being like, okay, if I could just change myself a bit. Whereas someone like Bill Gates, you're like, well,
there's no reference point.
There's no yeah. reference point. It's like,
we're not
and he's
connected
like a quote
in
unquote
any way.
Genius. It yeah. doesn't like threaten you in the same way, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense because I mean, so much of evolutionary biology is about like how we fit into our communities. And like, I don't know, it just makes sense that you would be looking around you. And even anecdotally, it's like as if you're in a field and you work really hard or practice really hard, say we're like creators, YouTubers, as we got more popular, it was way more like that I would look at people who had around the same level of like viewers or subscribers
and
or those kind of things.
Envy.
And I stopped it's a bias where you kind of like stop looking behind. And it's a nice reminder sometimes when you're feeling envious to stop and go like, who's actually like kind of quote unquote behind me. I mean like physically, but
yeah.
that sounds like condescending. I don't mean it that way because they're probably looking at me like, oh, if only I had that. Whereas you're always looking forward at who's in front of you saying like, if I just got that,
yeah.
I would be happy. But it makes sense that your perimeter or your like your radius for view is just like
has
who's
to be
around
close,
you,
yeah,
socially or physically.
And they were like, envy evolved to motivate access to resources that are in demand by others in your group. So it's like if you think about Bill Gates, it's like the level of prosperity. Like envy wouldn't motivate you. Like you're kind of like maybe I would just waste all my energy. Like if I even tried to be Bill Gates, I would just like hate my life. And there's just like no. Whereas it's like the people around you. Is like what you're actually more in demand of. Then this was another one. So imagine a scenario, A, in which you see another guy or girl making love to another woman or man that you are attracted to and desire. Mm-hmm. So let's just do it for you. So you're gay. Okay. You see another guy making love to a guy that you're attracted to.
Okay, like someone I have a crush on or something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, they're hooking up with someone else.
That's scenario A. No, just, yeah, someone you just see another guy who uh-huh. making love to someone you're attracted to.
I'm like,
then
making
scenario
love?
B,
am I in their bedroom?
Yeah, you're watching them have sex. Scenario B, you see the same guy having even more passionate, like enjoyable sex with someone who you aren't attracted to.
Yeah.
Who are you more envious of? Unanimously, they chose the one who they were attracted to.
Of course.
So it's like you're actually jealous of that ranking, not the feeling that they're going through.
Correct. I see. You're jealous of it's. That's because it's your context. I want that.
Yes.
And they have it. I could care less if, like, if I want bananas and they're loving apples. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's not about the what they that have. Was, it's about what I want.
Which I thought was such a cool question. Yes. And they found out, they're like, okay, so that obviously means that, like, it's not about the outcome. They did another one that was like,
It is about the outcome, but the word matters. It's not about the outcome necessarily for the person.
Yeah.
But it's about what they're getting.
Yes.
Related to you.
They did another one, which was like, just asking straight men, duh, science. There was like, a lot of straight men. But it was...
ever heard of them? Like, not on this podcast.
That A, you could be the Dalai Lama, vastly happier, like on some abstract but very real scale. Or B, someone like Hugh Hefner, who had limited access to attractive women. Who are you more envious of? And they chose Hugh Hefner.
You mean unlimited access? Is that what you said?
Yeah, sorry. Oh. Unlimited access.
Versus the Dalai Lama.
So they were just sort of being like, you'd think that people would be like, I'm envious of someone who has this like, what we all could see is like an insane internal happiness and contentment, but they were still choosing the person who had access to attractive people as who they envied more. And it's like, that is just so odd. And it was like,
that's
unanimous.
What makes me think it's such a, in the way that fear is this kind of innate, almost uncontrollable thing. It feels to me like envy and jealousy. And as I read the studies, like, it is obviously a very natural part of social behavior and human behavior and some other primate behavior. But it's like, there is an element of it that's like, quote unquote, out of your control. It's like this response your body has that maybe for a reason that you don't understand, but it compels you to act in certain ways.
Yeah. The last one, which, and I wrote this as like, why LA sucks. but it was like, there's a guy in Spain who's extremely similar to you in talent, looks, and capacity for work, but he's twice as wealthy as you. Mm. Or there's Joe, who's your neighbor, who's twice as wealthy of you as you. Who are you more envious of? And people chose their neighbor.
Oh, I was going to say, because he's...
You were going to choose Spain?
Only because that person's more similar to me.
I know. Well, they were just sort of... This one was not as unanimous, but they were saying most people chose B, and they think it's like... It's like you...
You're right. Like, Spain is so far removed from me. I actually don't. I would only really be caring about the people I know. But what it made me think about was like, when people get on Survivor that fit my... I'm like, okay, wow. They're so gay, you're whatever.
Envious.
I'm like...
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, you have a specific... So you're like, envious
of people
envious on Survivor.
I'm envious of like the girls who get on Survivor. I'm envious of like the like queer men who get on Survivor. Because I'm like, that could be me.
Yeah. No, that's different though, because I think Survivor, weirdly for you, is the neighbor. Like, it's the community. Honestly, like
my community of Survivor, of which I've never been a part.
And also, it's like going back to the earlier thing. It shows you what you value. You value Survivor. You know what I mean? Like, that's where your envy is lying.
That is the saddest part of my life, but it is the most true.
But the reason I thought about LA is like, everyone talks about how like awful it is to live there because everyone's in the same industry, and it's like, it's true. When we would go there for work, you're just, it's like the envy shoots through the roof because everyone's physically around each other doing the same thing. If you like lived in like Vermont and then like flew and did your jobs and just like lived outside of LA, like you would just not feel that, have to deal with the same amount of envy.
Yes.
Because it's like your neighbors are all actually doing similar things.
Yeah. It's like you're competing with them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I feel so blessed that our friends could give a crap about what we do and certainly don't do it at all, because then you kind of like
have envy.
You look at them.
Yeah.
And if you're not that this only happens in LA, obviously, if like you're in New York and you're an actor and you're competing with like so many more people than you would be somewhere else, like now your friends are actors, it will be harder to like appreciate and be happy for them unless you have a really strong friendship.
The reason I like New York so much more is that you could build a friend group in New York as like a really incredible scientist and then have less envy because you hang out with all artists.
100%,
like there's just more diversity in professions. Whereas in LA, you can tell people are just like clamoring for this similar industry. Mm. And I just was like, okay, yeah, I do think people struggle with envy in LA more than probably other cities. And it's just like these questions were making me be like, okay, like geography is like important to envy.
Yes. But I think we can qualify that geography can also be digital geography.
Yeah,
right?
True. Like, who you
follow. I believe you're right that a physical geography is always going to play a stronger role. But so many people live in these digital geographies. It's like, did I invent that term? Okay. And your digital geography, you know, like is the people you surround yourself with on the internet as well. Or just the communities that you're in.
No, I'm not.
Like we have a digital...
but like for sure, that's like been said before. But like...
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No. Like, I actually, like, it is interesting.
I think about it just because, yeah, of course, when I'm like thinking of, oh, are our videos like successful? Are we like, are they reaching enough people? It's like, I'm looking at the people in our digital geography. I'm not comparing
that's
we don't
true.
Have any friends in
we
our
don't
lives
have any
that,
neighbors
like,
that are doing
content.
It.
So it's like, yeah. I'm looking at similar ish people to us who make content to be like, oh, are we like stacking up for ourselves and for other people?
Yeah. What are you like most envious of?
Well, like, you're trying to get me to expose my deepest desires.
Well, no, I was saying
literally gay man on Survivor.
That's so interesting. That's a cool one.
I
that's interesting.
I'm not that envious of them because I don't know them at all. It's I'm not really envious of them.
I know. I'm trying
it's
to think of
like,
who am I envious in my life. It's so high school. Like I could have done it so well in high school. I was so like panicked and envious.
Yeah, it's such a complicated emotion because sometimes it's the people you also love. You know, like
yeah. Know what I'm envious of? People who are like aloof. Like, I think that sometimes it's like, cause I'm such a people pleaser. This is like dark and deep, but I'm like, now I'm like, I can't believe I have a, why am I saying that? But it's like when I'm always so aware of the way everyone else is feeling and trying to make people feel comfortable, I get really annoyed with people who aren't like that. And then I think sometimes it like leads to like deep down, it's actually an envy
that you wish you didn't have to bear
it's
the
like,
cross of like being stressed about people feeling comfortable and stuff.
Yeah. Like that it's is, also, yeah, it's like anxiety, pretty, right? It's yeah. like, it's pretty like not, it's not that helpful. Like it's helpful sometimes. I'm sure some people are like, oh, sweet. Like that's, I appreciate that you're like,
of course,
but like not really a lot of, and then it's like people who are like kind of like aloof have obviously a lot of their own issues, but like my envy is there sometimes just being like, you're just like,
can escape that feeling
yeah,
of
it's
carrying
very
the
like,
stress of everyone.
Yeah. And it's very like innocent in a way. Cause you're kind of like, you're just like, it's almost like they're present.
Yeah.
I'm envy of people who are just like present and don't care. I'm envy of people who don't give a fuck.
I feel it's weird because on the surface, my answer keeps changing in my head. Sometimes I think I'm envious of people. I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but there's some people who like are totally satisfied with their life and like their job. And
but are
like,
there?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
There's a range.
What? You mean like people who seemingly are?
Sometimes I feel like I always have to be chasing something else. And I'm like, sometimes I'll see people who have had the same job and they just have quote unquote a more simple life that
I
really wish I could just be content. But then at the same time, I stop and I'm like, but I actually don't think I want that.
Yeah.
Like I maybe thought I wanted that, but I'm like, I think if I had that, I don't know. It's hard to know because my brain would just be like, no, I need another goal.
Yeah.
I need another thing to like try and
so
do.
You're envious of people who live a simple life and seem content.
Yeah. And just are just like, I don't need to do more. I'm happy with where things are at. I don't need more whatever, more friends, more money, more success, more anything. My life is like fulfilling the way it is. That may be an illusion. Of course, everyone faces, you know, it's easier for me to look at someone and be like, everything's perfect in their life. And they're just like,
yeah, content. I know. But that's like a good point. That's like why envy is so interesting is it's making you realize that is an issue in your life. It's the constant need.
It is,
more.
But I don't, that's why I'm saying it's confusing to me because I stop and I'm like, I'm actually not envious of that because I don't think I want that. Like I do. And maybe this is me working through therapy. Like everyone is different and everyone can be the same.
Yeah.
And my, maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's trauma, maybe it's whatever, or maybe it's genetic. And like some people are just like more contented and some people are less contented. And I'm somebody who just has to like accept sometimes that that's a little bit a part of my personality.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we'll get to near the end about how to cope with envy is in these studies an important one was like, you can't cherry pick your envy. Like you have to take it all. So like, if you are envious of that person with a simple life, then you have to take their 9-to-5 and they're maybe unable to go on the trips you go on. Mm-hmm. Or like you can't just choose that one part of their personality and then be like, but I want to keep everything else about my life.
100%,
it's a really good practice for if you're envying someone and it's like it's you're having issues with it, be like, you're not allowed to just choose the one thing they have. Like for me, like their aloofness, you actually have to choose
the
rest, which is that actually a lot of people are annoyed with that person because they're not capable of making other people feel comfortable. Like people like having me around because I will make sure everyone feels okay.
Yeah.
And even though that's frustrating to me sometimes, if I'm actually going to follow through and be envious of someone who's like aloof, I have to take the fact that sometimes people are like, that person's annoying because yeah. they're not,
and
they're
thinking more only about too, themselves. Right? Like being aloof. Many people are aloof, like forget a lot of things and end yeah. up in
well,
situations.
But I also like, don't know where my keys are.
Well, you're like, are a little aloof but in no, specific ways.
Like aloof, and that's what I mean. I'm like, I also am envious of that. People who like know where their keys are. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm not the fun aloof. I'm aloof What's for the thing. I don't know. The fun aloof is when you just like IDGAF.
No, everything's like, good. Everything's bad. Okay. Everything does a scale. Everything. Some things are just bad, I think. But like most things are a bit good, a bit bad.
And then I think, and then obviously back to like, I think envy can be a lot like social media mm-hmm. bodies.
Before we go there, I wanted to get into a really cool study on primates. And you may have actually like seen this in the past. And it like upholds a lot of the things you were just saying, which I thought was fascinating.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, there's like these studies that have been done on monkeys where they give them, if the monkey gives the human a stone, like they're in cages or whatever, they'll get a treat.
Sorry, they're yeah, in cages. Okay.
Like they're in, yeah, they're literally in cages. They get a reward. And usually that reward is cucumbers. And so they'll like get this monkey to give a stone, get a cucumber. And the one right beside it that it can see will get a cucumber as well. But then later they switch it where suddenly this one gets a cucumber still. But now this one, when it gets the stone, gives a stone, it gets a grape. And apparently monkeys go wild for grapes. Like apparently it's like the highest reward.
That's so cute.
And once you do that, the other monkey will stop performing in the same way. It is like basically annoyed and jealous that the other monkey's getting a better reward and will stop giving the stone. It will like its rate for completing the task. And they also then tested like, well, what if grapes are present, but we're not giving it to anyone, just to see like, are the monkeys being greedy? Is that monkey going like, well, I saw grapes, give me grapes. No, if grapes are present but not given to any monkey,
it's fine.
It's all about what the other monkey is getting yeah. changes their behavior. And so this has led them to believe, obviously, like that this is like an envy is an innate thing about fairness and about like wanting to distribute things in a specific way. So what else did I write? Okay.
It is cool to know all these things, because I think sometimes when people suffer from jealousy and envy, it feels like an out of control reaction. And if you can remember that it's just like,
it is an important evolutionary thing. Yeah.
It can help you be like, okay, like I'm not like, because it can also lead to murder. I know I brought
there's
that up.
Extremes of everything.
No, but it's like actually like envy can be drive people crazy. Anyways, continue.
Their takeaway in this was the researchers argued that without envy motivating our interest in making social comparisons, there'd be no reason to care about fairness and justice. So like envy is a social dynamic. Like you're looking at the community yeah. around you. If somebody has too much more than somebody else and it feels unfair, that like creates a dynamic in the group that is pushing, not only can push everyone to try and do more, or maybe it is like bringing them down so the group has more fairness in it to like have the success of the group rise. Do you know what I mean? Instead of like yeah. individuals.
Yeah.
But then it is interesting that you use the Bill Gates example, and it's almost like they're so far removed yeah, in their wealth and affluence that yeah. they've gotten out of the system.
Well, now we're talking micro between studies, but another interesting thing I thought, this study wasn't as good, but the one part I took out was like about materialism and how like essentially like benign envy might motivate people to improve themselves, which is like good, I guess. But like it also, when they think about it from like a capitalist perspective, it usually just means like buying similar products to people that they like have envied. Okay. And that malicious envy instigates like almost like buying things to spite someone else, like higher luxury goods over other people.
Yeah.
Whereas they were like, the benign envy might be like, oh my God, that's such like, a nice shirt. That. I'm going to have that shirt. Mm-hmm. Whereas they were like, this is trying to like explain the envies. Whereas like malignant envy would be like, like that shirt is Adidas. Like I'm actually going to go Prada.
Right.
And like wear Prada try around you to be. Yeah. yeah. And then they kind of like took it down this world where they're like, caring about brands and materialism and value in products can be a sign of, and like almost like a trigger of envy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so interesting. Like you can like link it to like climate change. Like they kind of did that. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you're like, we're in this consumer like issue right now with products. And like, it's almost like the idea of like, valuing like reusing things and buying secondhand and stuff, they were saying could be an antidote to envy. Because if you sort of start to subscribe to the idea of like valuable clothes, valuable cars, valuable houses, wealth, you are like falling into the trap of envy. And I was like, that is so interesting. Because so much of like Toronto, and like we had the opportunity to go out on King Street recently, where it was like the first time we'd ever done that, which is like this like bougie party street in Toronto. And you're just like, this whole thing operates on envy. It's like about who's sitting where. And like, I think people subscribe to it because they just think it's like what like life is. But I really think that they're saying is like, no, if you subscribe to it, you're going to be in a lot more pain. There's like a way you can tap out of this fully. And it actually involves
maybe
being
not fully.
Sorry, not fully, but like, it's like, if you are actually like, I actually do care about money and material possessions and all these things, that's like, buying the Prada is not going to make you feel better. It's actually just going to contribute to the fact that you're now more envious in settings. Yeah. It was like complicated, but I was like, that's really interesting that like you might just be like, I'm having a good day. I'm going shopping. But it's like, it could end up being something that in the long run.
Yeah. But that can be expressed, I think, in any way. It doesn't just have to be buying things. Like, you can express your envy through, I don't know that it's like, obviously buying things is more toxic in the way that it impacts the world on a greater scale, but like, you can be envious in another way and try to get better at something, and that can still be just as toxic. Like,
yeah,
by participating in that envy.
Yeah,
like
what?
Like, I don't know, like a sport? Oh, that musician's better than me, I'm gonna like get better. Like, is that motivation now toxic? Like, it's the same emotion.
Yeah.
I think the clothing thing is like a simpler thing because it's literally dealing with material goods. And we can also say like, we live in a crazy capitalist society that's like destroying the planet. Okay, it's bad. But I think it's still the same emotion. And whether it's good or bad is like hard to quantify. Of course, it's easier to say, oh, but like practicing an instrument is a noble pursuit. But to me, it's the same underlying emotion that's pushing buying things versus getting better at a thing, I think. A couple of like interesting facts I came across is high self-control is more predictive of benign envy. So, So in studies, if people have self-control, they're more likely to be like, okay, I have autonomy, I will try and get better at a thing, versus like having low control is more associated with malignant.
Yeah, they were talking about impulsiveness. As like an issue with envy.
And then malicious envy was more linked to fear of failure, and benign envy is more linked to expectation of success. So if you think you're like someone who's like, I think I should be successful, you're more likely to have benign envy and like try and make yourself better.
I think I should be successful is benign versus...
And then fear of failure. People who are afraid to fail are more likely to want to bring other people down.
Oh, that makes sense. Because they're like not able to...
out there. And then one other really interesting thing I thought is like, admitting you're envious is breaking a social norm.
Yeah, and that's the number one key to alleviating envy is actually just admitting it and talking about it. That's the classic therapy thing, like in awareness and communicating. Like literally, if you talk to people about your envy, like the way that people respond is extremely positive to the point that it might go away. But they said no one, like people are so afraid to talk about it.
Even in brain imaging studies, they can see that people are suppressing the parts of their brain.
Okay, so what are we actually envious of? Like we can't even say it.
It's like so hard to say. It's so hard to admit. It's so vulnerable. And it's like it destroys your positive self-image of yourself to show that you're like, you know, envious of someone having more money or something. But it's like not only will people spontaneously deny envy or suppress overt acts of envy, but they may also literally change their inner thoughts and feelings. And when they do neuroimaging brain studies, brain regions associated with controlling emotions are activated in the presence of superior others. So
it's like you're even more
envy,
like, I'm
and now
fine.
They're like, turn it off. Like, don't feel that because it's actually socially unacceptable to
that's
be
so hunter gatherer vibes. Yeah. We're officially Joe Rogan podcast, only talking about that. But that is so interesting. It's like if you're around someone that you envy, to be like, I envy you is so hard. Whereas I can imagine you're like, oh, actually, everything's so fine. Kidding. Like, you're the worst. Like, you're so, like, I can just imagine what people do.
And it feels like, it feels like a negative quality to say, like, I'm feeling bad because of your success.
Yeah.
It's not a nice, like, thing to have to admit, right? It's almost, it's embarrassing to be like, you're having a really happy experience and I feel bad. And that's like,
no wonder everyone hides that. But then they're saying it is really important to talk about.
Because, of course,
because also the person everyone would probably start to be like, well, here's like why this was so messed up. And like, but like, obviously you don't want to like yuck someone's like yum.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really interesting. I'm trying to like think of like examples.
Of?
Well, I was just watching the Pedro Almodovar movie and I just remember the girl said, I really envy you. You two are so close. Like she just said that in the movie last night about the two sisters. And I just remember being like, oh, she admitted her envy in this way. That was like nice. And they kind of were like, I don't know. It just was like, it just was like a trigger for me being like, oh, that she said, I envy you. Too.
Yeah, so no, you're like right.
Thinking about envy. And
I think it can be used as a very positive thing. And if you come to terms with it, you can express it in a meaningful way. That's not yucking someone's yum.
Yeah. And then they
to say it in that way doesn't make the other person think, oh, you wish I didn't have this close relationship. It's more like the benign envy. Admitting benign envy is more positive.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I just wish I had what you had and I'm jealous of that. But if you say it in a way that's like, because it's beautiful, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just trying
not because I want
to
be better than
what is like our deepest, darkest. I'm just like thinking of like, I'm going to like the gym, literally like the hellish place on earth called Equinox, and picturing like there are just like, you know, that literally almost like the trainers at Equinox, like when they come in the change room, I'm just like, oh my God. Like it is envy. I'm like, that is the most like beautiful, insane body ever. And then sometimes like I'll literally listen to them talk and I'll be like, dumb as fuck. Like shut my locker and like go, like I'm like
trying to find compensatory.
Yeah. Like I'm almost like building up this story in my head about how like if I were to meet them, yeah, I probably wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so envious of your body. I'd be like, in my head, like, oh wow, it's too bad that you like are dumb as a brick. Like, I just feel like my body would create some other.
Yeah, I think that's
thing,
normal.
Which is like so rude. It's like I don't know any of them, and I'm so sorry if any of you.
Yeah, and deep down, your biggest fear would probably be meeting them, and they're amazing and so introspective and so smart, and you'd be like, but then maybe you'd see them more as a whole human as well, and be like, actually, that's really cool that you have it together, but it might be difficult to find out someone you're envious of actually also is like a good, good person.
And there's something definitely about like internal versus in-group, out-group. Like they're all straight, which I sometimes feel like
on the outside.
I feel like there's one that I think might be gay and I think I'm like more aware of their body or whatever, like more like envious.
I think like we should talk about potential solutions.
Oh, well, it's to like admit it, to talk about it.
Okay.
To not just cherry pick the things you're envious of someone. You have to think of them as a whole and be like, do you actually want all of them or do you just want that one thing?
Yeah. That one other thing I came across was like, you have to treat yourself like a child. Like when a child is like playing with toys and doesn't get something they want, they lose their mind.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you go like, well, you can't always get everything you want. Like it's their turn to have it or to play with it. So like trying to remember like that, that's a philosophy for yourself as well. Like you actually can't have everything. That's not a meaningful life to have everything. And it's maybe better to focus on your own strengths, like pump yourself up, right? Like you all stop looking at the thing that you have a deficit in potentially and try and like inflate your mind in the ways that you are strong.
Yeah. I remember like the first time, like I left university and like my one friend like got a job and I got so envious. Like it was so weird. Cause he was like, I got a job and we all like went for drinks and I was just like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, it was just like so crazy. Cause like, that's so interesting. Like that 21 year old age where it's like, now you're out of university, time to become a professional. Like it like shattered my world to be like, wait, I'm like going to like a teacher's college. Yeah. I'm like prolonged. Like I'm not like making the income. Yeah. And like, I just remember it threw me off so much. It's like, wait, I should just, and seemingly everyone else at the drink was happy, but maybe we were all panicking. No one said anything. I didn't say
to be like, oh my gosh, like they're kickstarting life and like,
yeah, and I didn't have it in me, but I bet if I was like, oh my God, I'm actually like so envious, I'm kind of freaking out, I bet we all might have admitted it, talked about it.
Yeah,
even he might have been like, I'm freaking out that I have to work.
Yeah,
and like when I look back on that, I was like, that was to go back to what I said at the beginning, envy really does show you what you value, and it's transient. Like, I don't value that anymore.
Right.
It does. Like, if my friend gets a job, I'm like, actually, like, slay. Mm-hmm. Whereas at the time, because it was that, like, time when everyone's supposed to get, there's a lot of pressure.
Trying to figure out how to
become
an adult.
Early 20s, like, people in their 20s, like, probably deal with a lot of envy. But then when now that we're in our 30s and everyone has their thing, and you actually realize, like, jobs are so boring and, like, mm-hmm. whatever, there's, like, envy has morphed and my values have morphed. But I just, that was a time I remember feeling like I know exactly where I was when he told me, and just like, oh my God, awesome. Like, just like such a dark feeling, because it threw me off. I was like, wait, why?
I think it's a really good strategy, and I've heard this in like the Happiness Lab and stuff as well, to often like think of yourself when you're 70. Like, if you even right now at your age think of your 16-year-old problems, it's easy to be like having all these crazy emotions for things that don't quote unquote matter to me at all anymore.
Oh my God, speaking of Usher, I remember the first time I like saw a six pack on someone in like grade 7, and I had like almost threw up. I was so envious. I was like, wait, we can have those? Like, I thought only like Usher could have those. But,
okay, think of that then. If you're having like envy around like body stuff, it's like when you're 70, you're going to look at yourself now and be like, I should have been so proud. Like,
Not
that bodies matter that much, but like, you're going to look back no matter what and be like, wow, I was so youthful, but I was so focused on other things. Why didn't I just notice what I had? And I think that's a useful technique for like all sorts of emotions. That's my number one thing. Number two, I think it's also important to just accept, like, fear is a useful tool to protect us, and so is envy. But we live in a society where those things get triggered a lot. And so
you mean like Instagram and stuff?
Yeah. And just like trying to like remember, like, it's okay to be envious. Like, this is part of human nature.
Yeah.
But if it's like causing you, if it happens to you a lot, then maybe you need to work with a therapist or a doctor or someone.
Yeah.
If there's like a lot of internal struggling, like, there are some associations with like people who are depressed having a lot more envy. So like, there may be other things going on in your life that might be, envy might be not like the base of it, but it might be getting triggered because of a different condition.
I see something, I think it says low self-esteem, because that was coming up too.
Yeah, it says like the two main factors that make you more vulnerable is having low self-esteem and then something called deprivation intolerance, which was simply just like the inability to not bear getting what you want. But I don't really know like much about that. So
I'm adding self-esteem as an episode because I'm like, even when people say low self-esteem, I'm like, what does that mean? Because doesn't that like seem like everyone has
right?
like some version of it and some like, I mean, yeah, I guess I just feel like self-esteem is something that like,
yeah, it's fascinating.
Everyone is going to
have. And are there like real techniques to like improve your own self-esteem?
Yeah. And it's like, it kind of reminds me of envy where it's like, people don't talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. In the sense that like you can have low and high self-esteem both seem like weird and bad. Like it's like, so it's like an unspoken thing.
Yeah.
And I actually have zero idea. Like sometimes I guess when people like act out in certain ways, I'll be like, oh, they have low self-esteem. But I actually like don't have that thought like very much considering how many times I think
how much
other things
is,
about. Yeah. And how much it might be impacting. And then even just being like, it's like, I think I have low self-esteem sometimes and high self-esteem sometimes, but I'm sure I want to be more cognizant of like when that is.
Yeah. It's such so many emotions. I mean, so much of therapy can be that is like learning to just clock when things are happening and then building up techniques to manage those emotions that are perfectly normal that lots of people have and just like working through it. And like I said, if it's on the extreme end where you're always facing these emotions, then there probably is like bigger, maybe more help that you need.
So you're like, but, your biggest envy thing is like survival?
No, it's actually not like that. I don't actually know. Like I do have envy, but I'm not. I think my coping strategy with envy is to like block it out, which is not necessarily healthy, but it, in some ways maybe is where it's just
not
like,
lean into it.
Well, it's like. Like to hide myself from the people I am envious of. I don't want to look at the people that I have jealousy or envy of. Like
you could like pretend they don't even exist.
In a way, I think that's what
like
my
mentally?
Brain is. Yeah. Or just
but what
like,
if it's like your friends or it's never your friends?
I wouldn't say it's never, but I don't think I'm like, don't think I have that much envy around my friends.
Yeah.
Because now at this really age, either. I feel like most of my friends are people who I just want to be so successful. Do you know what I mean? Like nothing that they would do. Of course, maybe if envious in the less like toxic way, like of course I'll be envy of like a friend's relationships or their love or like things that I, that are wholesome that I would be like, of course I would want that. Like they have a beautiful relationship with their sister or something, you know, like I don't mean that I don't, I just mean like seeing like some sibling relationships is like, wow, of course I could be envious of that, but it doesn't like cause me pain.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I mean, that is probably helpful that we don't work, like all of our friends have different jobs, which is probably really great.
Yeah, I think it helps that we don't have to compare ourselves.
It would be really hardworking in everyone in the same field. Mm-hmm. People probably have maybe a lot of envy at work. People getting promotions and stuff. We don't have to deal with that.
I think a lot of my envy is like self... I don't know. I have to think about this more, to be honest. I was just going to say like a lot of... I just like live in my own little bubble sometimes. So I'm sure envy triggers me, but then it like always expresses as just like... like I do think most of my envy is probably benign, which is not... I don't think that's necessarily healthy. It goes back to like being a perfectionist and needing to like then like obsess over things and spend so much time on things. And that...
But the you like shedding like... the idea out is like interesting because that's also very you. It's like it's a coping mechanism that's like just probably like,
kind put it away, close the door, or don't look at it.
It's done good ignore in it. Your life, and it like anything. It doesn't sound like good, but it's like it probably is good in the sense that like you don't have to feel that much envy.
Yeah, I'd rather ignore things that cause me envy. I think.
Yeah,
because I don't have like a successful internal mechanism to deal with them.
I think I'm the opposite. I think sometimes if something makes me envious, I panic and I like try to figure it out, literally in a crazy way. Like thinking about just like those. I know I keep talking about the gym, but it's just like where I feel like it the most. Like I kind of think about them a lot. Mm. Like I'm not shutting them out. I'm like they're here. The trainers are here, and I'm like.
It's so funny. Yeah, like, I do not have like, envy at all over like gym bros, but maybe if there's somebody who was like quote unquote like me, who had a similar body to me, who suddenly is really fit, I'd probably have more envy around that. But if I see like a jacked guy at the gym, I'm just like, oh well, he's.
What about like bar settings? I'm always so drunk. I mean, that's probably why people drink when they go out. It does turn off envy. Mm-hmm. I bet there's going out sober probably is like your envy everywhere. Because everyone's dressed up. There's VIP booths. There's something about the idea of partying that I think, and actually also even with you, like you're funny. Like sometimes with partying, like you don't want to go into a party environment where you are uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like
I definitely have a ton of anxiety, and maybe that's masking envy in some ways. Like I don't know, but like most of my problems come back to anxiety.
Yeah,
but I don't exactly know like the interplay between those two things.
Yeah,
like
no, okay,
if it's because of envy or I don't know, envy doesn't like almost every problem in my life I can link back to anxiety, but I don't think about envy that much.
Yeah, it's an interesting emotion though.
Yeah, I want to think about it more because I am like, it's harder in the middle of a podcast to like bring examples to my brain.
I just like, keep thinking about like two obviously hot trainers that actually I'm not that envious of. I just like want to blow them.
Yeah. And I've worked through lots of envy with like social media stuff, like through the years, like looking at peers and.
But you're also like so good. You're like, no. And then you just like log off and you're like, I'm actually not doing Instagram.
That's what I mean. But that was probably
that's
because of that.
Yeah.
The mix of anxiety and envy and being like, then I'm just not doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that I'm not saying is good. But
it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we should move on.
Move on or finish? Oh, yeah.
Finish. Yeah, just I mean like
this section. Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, this is long. Okay, we'll end the envy section here and then we'll go into Motion Lines Week. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, for the viewers who are watching, thanks for watching and BRB.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So Ooh. I learned about, what did you just do?
Who?
What was that?
It was just a little gasp. Just
but
a
was
little
it like with
out.
The song? Is that what happens in the song?
No.
What did we learn this week?
No, it was just like letting a little breath.
No, I was just like, wait, is there a who?
Sigh of relief.
No, okay, there's no who. Okay, wow. I was just like, wow, I didn't know. So it was like a huge survey of how everyone in the world spends their time to figure out the average human day. So that was so cool.
And the average human day. Okay. Yeah.
Across the world.
Yeah.
Even though there were a lot of differences, though, I'll get to as I explain. But it's like 1/3 of all hours are spent in bed, 9.1 hours on average in bed, but wow. not necessarily asleep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like you spend 9.1 hours a day on average in bed, the world as a whole, mm-hmm. as a humanity. Mm-hmm. And the largest time outside of sleep, so 9.4 hours in total, are allocated to changing your bodies, which is like kind of an abstract term because they divide it into three things. It was like
eating?
Yeah. So that was okay. like, yeah. So 1.6 hours are allocated to meals,
okay.
which is like also the cooking.
Okay.
Like yeah, it's like, yeah. okay, like yeah. they count that.
Okay.
1.1 hours to hygiene and grooming, playing sports, watching TV. So they considered changing your body as watching TV because it's like you're stimulating your brain.
That's weird though.
I know. Caring for children.
Those
going
don't
to
feel
church.
At all the same.
Well, no, it's because they had to, this is what I mean. They had to divide it into three larger things. It was like changing your environment, changing your body.
And
I think it was like transportation.
Oh, okay.
Or like it was like, the changing your body to everyone now is like calorie counting, but no, they're meaning like yeah,
just like things
feeding,
that actually
like
your body.
Truly turning your brain off with TV. Like I know that sounds like you're not changing your body, but like you are.
Okay, yeah.
You're changing your brain. You're, mm-hmm. and I was like, that's super interesting. And then they also included work in that, and I was like, that's wild,
weird.
I know, because I guess
in the changing your body category.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. But anyways, that's obviously most of it, 9.4 hours.
Okay.
But like you can like take what you want with that. Like playing sports, grooming, caring for children, going to church. Like they
did they break those down further?
Yes, yeah. And okay. Yeah, like 1.1 hours is got hygiene it. And okay. grooming.
Okay. That yeah, that's just
and
more
they call it like deliberate neural restructuring. So that would be like schooling, reading, Ooh. Research.
How much was for that? Did you have a number?
No, I didn't write it.
Okay,
down.
That's fine.
Then the next largest bigger section was the change in the physical world. So it'd be like agriculture, mining, laundry, waste management.
That laundry one really stuck out as a sore thumb.
Yeah. Like
agriculture, but mining, then, laundry.
But then they were like, in poorer countries, agriculture is a huge part of people's day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's so interesting because like, if obviously a lot of people listening to this are probably like, agriculture? It's like, yeah, you walk to the grocery store, you're so freaking privileged.
Right, yeah.
That's interesting that that was a big differentiation was the amount.
But I'm curious what if work is in the other categories.
I know.
Agriculture not some people's work? Like, how are they categorized?
Yeah, no, that? I think that they're saying that there are a lot of people who are like, it's not actually part of their work.
They're collecting food?
Yeah, and then they're themselves. Eating it, okay. cooking it. Yeah, and then transportation was constant everywhere. People spend 1 hour per day regardless of where they live. Their socioeconomic status, it averaged out to 1 hour.
And that was movement?
It's transportation, moving yourself around.
Like, does walking count?
Yeah, like, yeah. That was like moving place to place. Again, they're surveying people, so they're probably asking them certain things. But yeah, like getting on the subway to go to
right.
a meeting.
How often
or,
you're in transit.
Yeah.
I guess that word just means like going from place to place.
And then they said only 5 minutes on average was ever put towards anything to do with the environment or climate change, even dealing with your waste was put in that. So they're like, this was like our big takeaway was like, we could increase. Like if everyone spent more than 5 minutes in their day thinking about something environmental or doing something, like, it's like that's such a low amount of time that it was just like, that was their
yeah.
takeaway. An hour, 1.5 hours.
But I think it goes
grooming.
To show that is a huge challenge and maybe we need to think about it differently.
Yeah.
Like I often think about how, no, I don't want to like talk about capitalism and stuff, but like how do you create motivating systems that don't rely on people's own energy?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it is exhausting. In the same way for many people, it's exhausting to go to the gym. It's a lot. Like, but there's always these recommendations. Spend this many minutes a day exercising, this many fruits
yeah.
and vegetables. It's like those things are really hard. How do you create environments that, like, walkable cities and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
markets that are just, like, really accessible to people and no food deserts. Like, those are maybe better strategies. So what's a better strategy for an environmental cause than being, like, now use your energy at the end of your day to think about how to save the planet?
Yeah.
Like, I can
yeah.
see why that's so small.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, that's interesting. I'm almost like, you can make a video out of that. If yeah. all those are kind of broken down into subcategories, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Like, cute little. Sometimes a little abstract.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Interesting. Mine's like not related, but it's about people. So mine was about.
Ever heard of them?
New research on people that live past 100. And it's like the biggest study that's ever been done. They did also, in part of the study, include people who are in their 90s. So obviously it's just like people who live old, but we're mostly talking about centenarians.
Wow.
Really interesting fact. It's the fastest growing demographic group in the world.
Okay.
So yeah, the numbers okay. have roughly doubled every 10 years since the 1970s.
Oh no, this is one that said that I'm not going to like it.
Oh yeah, we're getting there. So this study was 44,000 people. They were looking at their blood, and around 1,200 of the people made it to 100 years old. So it was only like a couple percent. 85% were female. Okay. So like, if you're a man, you're probably not going to be 100.
Yeah, the odds are low, baby.
Which is really sad. Okay. So those who made it to their 100th birthday tended to have lower levels of glucose, creatinine, and uric acid from their 60s.
Oh my God. Because onwards. Of gout?
Well, not... Like, because of gout? Oh, sorry. When it comes to...
No, I have high uric acid. I have gout.
Yeah.
Wait, they said uric acid?
People with higher levels of uric acid decreased their chance of becoming a centenarian.
Wait, that's why?
Well, it was in conjunction with glucose, creatine, markers for liver function. So there were a bunch of things, but I just thought it was interesting that uric acid
oh
was
my
like
God.
One of the like three things.
Well, I'm on meds to lower it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Is
that's
there
a
not
really
anything
thing.
Else?
Those were just like...
It's just the uric acid. The one thing I have like so much of that is
no,
like,
but you are on meds for it. So like that's
yeah,
good.
But... Oh,
and this was... God. They were measuring since they were around 60, 65. So you've caught this so early in your life and now you're on something that's helping keep those
but
levels
low. But
when
I'm 60, the meds are not going to be working. They're going to be like, it's
so
again.
Obviously they're finding a link between metabolic health, nutrition, and exceptional longevity. Like it's a lot of it. They now obviously like bring down to genetics as well. You can't change that. They tried not to make any conclusions in the study about lifestyle factors just because it's like, I think too big of a question. But the like articles that were right about this were like, it's reasonable to think that nutrition and alcohol intake play a role mm-hmm. for how long you're going to live. How well your kidney and the organs and are functioning. And then they were saying like the differences were not so huge, but these were just the things that they noticed were so different in those people. And what was interesting was that these differences could be noticed so long, like in their 60s and 70s before they were centenarians. That's what was like the interesting finding, is that somebody with those markers at 65 could be predicted to make it to 100 more likely.
Isn't it always like Mediterranean diet, or is that just like,
well, they weren't talking about like they were just measuring what's in the blood of these people. But yeah, obviously like your lifestyle can impact it, but it's like, that's so hard to disentangle. So they were just like, what is the blood like of people who get to this age?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, but not like a huge result, but it's just like cool that they studied 44,000 people, a couple 1,200 centenarians, and yeah.
And that's your dream. You'd be envious of someone who lives to 100.
I mean, I guess it's, I guess you're right, yeah. It's like not my dream, but I
No, you said at the beginning, you were like, it's literally my dream.
It would be cool to be 100 years old. I'd like to make it there, but sometimes now, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
That's so long.
But like, I mean, I want to be like mobile and healthy. Like I'm not just saying I want to live for the sake of living longer.
Yeah, it is like brutal that you're a man, because in my head I'm just like, good luck.
It's not going to happen, I know. Although like, I have an uncle that's like 95. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like a great uncle.
Yeah.
And
no, it's obviously
like
possible.
On my mom's side, lots of the boys live pretty long.
Yeah. But
not my papa like, though, so I don't know.
Like, and we're not like living in like
a small village in Greece eating fish or whatever. There, I was like, it's just like they're just like drinking olive oil out of the trees.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you're just like, you can't know anyway. Like, even if you have the perfect genes, you're gonna get hit by a bus. You can't.
Yeah, and it's like we live in North.
Cancer people who are like super healthy can still just have heart attacks and like.
Or like Joni Mitchell smokes her whole life and she's still going.
Exactly. Like, there's no real knowing on the individual level. These are just like, that's the interesting thing about science.
And we live in North America, which I just feel like the health isn't like.
And we're living through a climate crisis where every summer we're just like breathing in smoke fumes now because there's forest fires constantly.
And like our culture is like, we don't drive that much, but we live in the drive culture. We don't live in like the Netherlands where it feels like there's just like health is just like ingrained in their societies. Mm-hmm. We just like drive to like a cold plunge, like a cold plunge therapy place like, at like King and Sudbury. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I did a cold plunge. Like, and then I get back in my car and drive home. Okay, anyways, slay all day. That was good. Oh, yeah. Leave us a voice note. We didn't do one today, but we'll do one next week. ASAPScience.com/talk. Chat.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, God.
Do we want to pick next episode? Like, you did, right? What was your idea that just came up? It was self-esteem. We could do it on that if we want to, like, give people something to talk about.
Okay, that's... Yeah.
If you or is it too similar?
No. If you have something to say about self-esteem, definitely put it ASAPScience.com/chat. And I would also be like, good for you, because it's like a tough thing to talk about.
True, maybe. But you might have an interesting perspective. Maybe you're somebody who works in the field with other people.
Yes,
doesn't have to be your struggle necessarily with self-esteem, but you might have some interesting tips and tricks that have worked to improve self-esteem. Like anything, give us your thoughts on self-esteem and we might include them in our next episode.
Thank you so much. And I so puss.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.